one of the reasons that I'm giving out a packet of chips tonight is because what I'm actually going to speak to you tonight about can be quite hard to hear. I'm going to be talking a little bit in the series that we've been going through. It's called Been There. So as a man, as a father, a husband, I just turned 50 last month. And in my... Thanks heaps, guys. You did fantastic. And girls. And Esther. Give it up for Esther. First night. Those who don't know, Esther is actually one of my daughters as well. But one of the things that I'm talking about tonight is anger, okay? So it's a series called Been There. Now, as a 50-year-old man, I've seen quite a few things in my years. And I used to think, when I used to hear my dad say things like that, I used to go, you know, it's a bit cringy. But what I've actually learned that, you know, while I was growing up, there was no remote for a TV. My first car had two keys. One was for the door and one was for the ignition. So I've seen a few changes over the years, and I know there's people in this room that are a bit older than me that are going, well, that's just the norm and that's okay, right? But there's also some changes that I've seen in my life. And a particular change in my life that has occurred is that I am far less angry now than I was. And it's not because I'm now 50, because I know some 50-year-olds who are very angry. So it's not an age thing. But what I decided is I wanted to do something about the way that I was reacting to what was happening around me. Now, I can also recognise there's going to be people in this room that are in hard situations. Okay? And I know that some of this is what I'm going to talk about tonight is very sensitive. Okay? And I am not a trained counsellor. I am a chaplain. I've also, I'm privileged to be a facilitator in a course called Circuit Breaker. If you want to just flick that first slide up of just of Uncle Brian. There he is. So that's actually a Port Macquarie pastors conference a couple of weeks ago. The lads thought we'd get together and have a bit of a feed. So you can see the salad on the left, right-hand side there. But Brian is one of my close brothers at church. And we do life together, we do life well. The guy on the left-hand side, which you probably don't recognise, is a guy called Matt Bolton. Matt Bolton is actually the creator of Circuit Breaker. So I met Matt quite a few years ago and we became quite good friends. So he was in Port Macquarie, we were in Port Macquarie and we said, you better come and have lunch with us, so we did. Now, Circuit Breaker is a 10-week course. So I have been rattling my brain trying to work out how I can deliver a 10-week course in the next 18 minutes. And Matt told me 2 weeks ago, Richard, you can't. And I thought, oh, there's got to be a way. But there's not, okay? So if you want to make real change in your life, my recommendation is that early next year, towards the end of early February, we are starting the next series of Circuit Breaker. What Circuit Breaker will teach you, it will teach you how you can get to know what your anger points are. Okay? It will go into your life very personally, very deliberately, and pull out things in your life that you go, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. That's me. So, Doreen, if we can just skip ahead to the faces of anger, that would be fantastic. So, believe it or not, everything that happens in your life every day, you are on this scale. So, number one on the end here, or zero, is Cool Runnings. And everything's cool. There's nothing happening. Everything is fine. Everything okay. Then we start moving this way, okay? And depending on what is happening in your life will depend on how your face changes. See, anger tries to control us. Anger tries to make us lose focus. Anger causes us to make rash decisions. Anger speaks to people louder than what we do. Winston Churchill said to a lady one day, "Your body language is far louder than what you are saying." Anger is okay. We know that because when we read our Bible, we hear many times that God is angry. So anger is a feeling, it is an emotion. But it just depends on what happens after we start feeling this, after the emotions start rising, then what we do with that. The Bible says, be angry but do not sin. So how can we control our anger? For me, what I've learned over the years that I've been doing Circuit Breaker after going through it myself was that this scale is gone. This scale is actually a really good scale to help you on that journey. Because when you can actually recognize where your anger points are, you recognize what your symptoms are, then you know what your body is telling you before you go any further. So if we can just flick that back up real quick. Sorry, Doreen. If we look at those faces again, right, if we can live between 0 and 3, that's fantastic, right? Because if you're always at 0, you're probably on something that you need to share with everybody else. But there's things in your life that are going to happen. And you'll begin to realise what they are. See, if someone comes up to me after the last State of Origin football ground and says to me, "That referee didn't know what he was talking about. That was a hopeless decision," I'll be going, "I don't care." Right? Because I enjoy watching it. It's pretty cool getting together with a bunch of guys and girls and sitting down and watching a football game. But to me, it doesn't really worry me. But you know in your lives what you're passionate about. So it could be a football game. For me, it's probably if you start having a go at my wife. That might be a trigger point for me. Because I might go, "Well, I don't actually think I like where you're going with this." And that could be tending towards that sort of 2 and 3 face. Okay. But for others, it might be something different. So recognizing what your faces are, recognizing when you get to those points is a great help. Because sometimes we sort of go, "Well, I can't help my anger. I can't control my anger." Who's used that as an excuse? I know I have. Oh, it's just me. Maybe I better start preaching somewhere else. But I'm sure we've all used that. But you see, that is relative to where you are. Right? So as a parent, right, if your kids are being noisy, you can start going, "Ooh, they've got to start quieting down. Come on, I've told you, be quiet." And then all of a sudden you're yelling down the hallway, "Boys, if you don't be quiet." But you see, if you live down the road from a Rebels motorcycle club and they're being noisy, you're not going to yell out, "Will you guys shut up?" Because it's got different consequences, hasn't it? So unfortunately, our anger is quite often pointed to the ones that we love the most. Okay? Because we feel safer doing that, don't we? So how can we control our anger? It's a great question. We can control our anger by recognizing what anger is and how it frustrates us. There's a definition of anger is part of communication. So when we are talking with someone and we start to become angry. The other person in the conversation may start automatically becoming defensive. Okay? So there's a graph that I'll get Doreen just to put up. And we're going to call this the anger defensive graph. And you can see the faces are no longer horizontal, they're vertical. So as we start getting angrier, the other person in the conversation starts to be more defensive. Okay? And what the line is down the middle there is actually separates how they listen. So as we start becoming angry, the other person starts becoming defensive, and all of a sudden you've hit that line at the point three. So their listening skills, where when we're talking to each other and everything's cool, our listening skills are 10 because our anger scale is 0. When our anger scale lifts to 3, all of a sudden that line is cut because their defensiveness has risen. It's a natural reaction. When someone starts getting angry at you, you start going, I don't think I like this. I'm not very happy with this conversation. You go, well, where's it going to go next? And all of a sudden, you're looking for an out instead of listening to what they're saying. Jump into the other shoes of the person who's speaking. They're looking at the other person going, why aren't you listening to me? I'm being very clear. I'm speaking very loudly. So you should hear what I'm saying. They're going, I don't like the way that they're talking to me. I want to leave this conversation. So as you can tell, that as your anger level scales up and up and up, the less that they hear what you're saying, because they're becoming more defensive. So we need to work out how to communicate better. So we get told over and over again, don't drive under the influence of alcohol. Don't drive under the influence of drugs. So may I suggest something? That we stop communicating under the influence of anger. When we feel that we are raising above that 3 level, that is the point there that we need to start pulling away and stop communicating. Because everything from there onwards is going to cause regret. Okay? You can imagine yourself driving down a hill. Hill's getting steeper. Right? You get towards the bottom of that hill and you're at a point at no return. That's the same as anger. Once you get up around that 6 and 7 mark, there is no coming back from there. You've lost all matters of control over yourself, over your own emotions. You've lost all control of what happens next. You start doing things that you regret doing because you've gone too far. So tonight, there is no way that I can go into all the details of how to do that. But there's a couple of stories that will hopefully give you a little bit just to go with. There's a story of a grandson that goes to his grandfather and says, Granddad, there's a situation happening. I became angry at a friend because there was injustice served. He said, well, let me tell you a story, son. I too at times have felt great hate and I've taken things into my own hands and done things that I'm not proud of. But hate wears you down. He says it's like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. He said you're building up emotions within yourself that sometimes you can't control. He says it's like having two wolves living inside of you. One is good and one does harm. One lives in harmony with all that is around and does not take offense when offended. He will only fight when it is right to do so and in the right way. But the other wolf, the littlest thing will send him off in a fit of temper. He fights everyone all the time for no reason. He cannot think because his anger and hate is so great. It is a helpless anger. For his anger will change nothing. Sometimes it's hard to live with two wolves inside of me, the grandfather says. For both of them try and dominate my spirit. The boy looks intently at his grandfather, in his eyes, and asks him, which one wins, Granddad? The grandfather smiles and quietly says to him, the one that I feed. It's a principle of nature. What we feed grows. The Bible says, what we sow, we reap. If you ever planted a garden, if you plant corn ears, you will grow corn. Okay? Can't grow corn out of tomato seeds. So how do we starve the anger inside of us? Firstly, we need to destroy the belief that anger makes us more powerful. We need to decide to get away from angry situations long enough to cool down. There is a tried and tested way of starving anger, and I'm going to share just a little glimpse of that tonight. When I am working on a computer, more often, sometimes when I'm working on a vehicle, sometimes I can get a little bit angry. And so what I do now is I go, I just need to take a break. I need to step away from that computer, from that screen. I need to go and have a couple of minutes, whether it's making a cup of tea, whether it's having a cold drink of water, whether it's just having a walk around. And I just need to calm myself, because then when I go back to the situation, all of a sudden I can see things that I didn't see before because of anger rising in me. Okay? Now, with people, it is very similar. But with people, I don't just walk away. Because if I'm having a conversation with John, right, and I can feel myself getting a little bit angry, for me to turn around and just walk away from John, go into another room, close the door, John goes, whew, what did I say? Geez, I've made him angry, right? It's left him with questions. So instead of that, if we're in a getting heated conversation, which would never happen in our office, I could turn to John and say, John, I value our friendship too strongly to continue talking to you this way, the way that I am feeling. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to step aside. I'm going to go back into my office. I'm going to cool down for a little bit. And then when I've gathered and I'm in a better place, I'll come down and we'll talk about this more. And then I'll walk away. Okay? So the difference being, is that I've owned my own anger. John is not left with a feeling of, oh, I upset Richard. I have said that this is a problem that I have. Okay? I have said the way that I am feeling, I need to remove myself from this situation because it won't be good for either of us if I don't. It's a big difference between just walking away and closing a door. So that's a great way of starving anger, is by removing yourself from that situation. So when we think back about those faces of anger, if we can learn how to take that time out, when we can sense that we're getting angry, then it's the best thing for us, it's the best thing for our family, it's the best thing for our workplaces. So your relationships with others will become stronger because people will feel that you have shown them respect rather than degrading them. People who used to provoke me will eventually give up. All their attempts will just lead to a timeout and it will just leave them being frustrated. Psalms 4. David cries out to the Lord. He says, "Answer me when I call, O God. Take away my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people ruin my reputation? How long will you make these groundless accusations? How long will you pursue those lies?" If I can ask the band to come up, it'd be great. Thanks, Levi. Thanks, guys. Then he pauses. So when you see Shayla in your Bible, it's a pause. Some have got interlude, depending on what version you're reading. David comes back to say, "But you can be sure of this. The Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call him. Don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Think about it overnight and remain silent." And he pauses again. See, one of the biggest chapters of Scripture which are taken out of context is don't let the sun go down on your anger. A lot of people feel that that means that you've got to keep talking about it. You've got to keep talking about it. You've got to keep, and you've got to keep on going, 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 going. But that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that choose to love, choose to forgive, choose to come back to that conversation in the morning, especially as a husband and wife, when there's peace. Choose the relationship over being right. Our Heavenly Father is a God of love. And we are so thankful that He is so slow to anger. He's the one that says, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." He's the one who says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's the one that says, "I will protect you. I will go before you." He is the lover of our souls.